Welcome to the Explore Riverside Weekly Radio Show, the show that explores all the things that makes the City of Arts Innovation a great place to live, work, and play. I'm Sharva Ingram.
And I'm your host, Greg Lee. Joining us in studio today is Bill Malone, the operator of the Fox Performing Arts Center. So, Bill, I understand that you've been in live entertainment industry for quite a while now. Can you give our listeners a little bit information about yourself and about your history in the industry?
Certainly. Actually, I started in banking after graduate school. I went to Wall Street for a couple of years, and it turned out that we represented all the major international entertainment industry accounts. I was always the guy in school running the senior prom or the concert on campus, or those type of things. And over time, I segued from Wall Street over into entertainment. And I started to represent entertainers, started to produce shows, started to do international touring, became useful to so many because of my business background, not so much because I like music.
but you like music, though, right?
But I do love music, okay, yes. Right. That's why I was putting on all those shows. And from there, it just continued to evolve into, I then built all of concert clubs that would be similar to a house of blues and put 1,100 people a night in there to a ticketed national concert act. And it just kept going. Relative to Riverside, I spent about 5 years at the Municipal Auditorium producing shows, and we introduced to the region George Lopez, Carlos Mencia, Morrissey, Jeffrey Osborne, Gerald Albright, Jesse J would come over to play with them, the Riverside Hero and Smooth Jazz. And then I got involved in terms of the Fox. We brought the architect to the city and started the whole concept of let's get the boards off the windows.
All right.
And that took many years. And here we are now, and we finally got open with Sheryl Crow in January of 2010.
Very nice.
Now, I notice a slight accent. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Okay, all right. I thought something
right
different.
Wall Street, right? Yes.
So, but the entertainment industry got you out to California?
Doing touring, you're just everywhere. And now, oddly, my two college roommates, one became the director of human relations for the LA Times, and the other became one of these magnets in this California RV thing. So I was in California constantly visiting besides, and sooner or later I segued here.
All right. Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for taking time to be with us in the studio today. And we want to start out by talking about what's coming up at the Fox. What are some of the shows that our listeners can look forward to being able to see there?
Well, in about a week, we kick off on Friday the 28th with Three Dog Night, followed by a night of smooth jazz with superstar Brian McKnight. Then we have great country shows. We've got Dwight Yoakam coming. And then on the 20th of October, we have the Mavericks reunion tour along with special guest Shelby Lynn. Interestingly, Shelby Lynn has now moved to Palm Springs from Nashville. So she's just coming down the highway.
Makes it convenient.
And then, we have America and the Little River Band in November. We're doing a big Veterans Day celebration. The four troops are coming to perform at the Fox on the 11th of November. We have a chorus line on November 16 and 17. All of the shows are at the Fox website, foxriversidelive.com. There's so many.
All right.
So over 306,000 residents in Riverside, diverse group of folks. How do you determine what type of shows that you present at the Fox?
Well, I shoot for an effective marketing mix. We present comedy, pop, mainstream rock, R&B, Latin, classic rock, ballet, symphony, recitals, children's shows. I go for a very wide mix so that we can make the shows available to the community. In general. Mm-hmm. So that's my platform.
Okay. Now, each season, you've got a wide variety of shows and a number of shows. So can you kind of walk our audience through the process of booking an act, how you determine what you're bringing for that particular season and what it takes from start to finish?
Well, with that mix in mind, I then have to be on top of what's going on all across America. Who's going to decide to tour? And more importantly, if they do decide to tour, who says they're doing a West Coast leg? Then, if they are doing a West Coast leg, who says it'll pass through the community? So it takes quite a while. It's not necessarily, there's no menu. You can't just say, oh, these are the 10 shows I'd like to do. It's immaterial in the industry. It's who's doing a West Coast leg. Then, of course, I'm forever faced with, oh, but wait, I'm only going to do one Southern California show. And, of course, I'm doing that in Los Angeles. So there are a host of factors that come to making a show happen in the end. And then on top of it all, it has to be affordable for a venue of our size. A lot of artists say, well, I don't play less than 2,500 seats, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rather involved process, and I'm right in the middle of it, fortunately, because I kind of know everyone. So I'm forever going, oh, but, you know, let's
so
put this together. Come on, we can do this. I've even made certain arrangements, like I will do a split now and then. So perhaps a Palm Springs venue and a Riverside venue together mean more than one show in the middle of some other locale 40 miles away. So unfortunately, the answer is it depends. The booking depends on a host of factors. And of course, in the middle of it all, you'd like to do things that in theory you could put on a menu, but it doesn't go by a menu. It goes by those factors.
Now, is there a show in particular that you're most proud of that you've been able to bring to the Fox so far? And
well, one of the ones that I really worked forever because I knew it would be a smash, but it took me a long time to convince the artist, the people will come to see you, was Colby Calais recently. We sold out on that show.
That was a great concert.
And that was a six-month conversation about, well, you know, I got to graduate up to that level and all. And you're there, mm-hmm. I guess. So that one in particular, it was a wonderful show. She's such a fabulous, wholesome performer. And mm-hmm. everyone just loved it.
Mm-hmm. I heard great reviews.
So then you're going out really selling Riverside. You're talking to artists and saying, we may not have been on your radar, but we think you would do really well here. So you're doing a selling job for Riverside.
I'm promoting the city of Riverside. You know, you could have an artist living in Florida, and he's knows where Los Angeles is, and that's all they know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I try and make it clear we are that point between Los Angeles and Palm Springs. Another thing that has proved to work oh so well for me is that I worked forever on trying to make sure we landed on the right technical outfitting for the Fox. So that's all designed on a tour basis, touring system basis, not on a playhouse basis.
Now, when you say technical design, what do you mean?
Sound systems, lighting systems, video systems. So it's very attractive in the end, and one artist tells the next artist who tells the next artist, gee, I went from Seattle to San Diego, and I went to this place called Riverside, this Fox Theater, like all the other Fox Theaters, but this one, wow, they have this line array system, they have these mixing consoles, they have this lighting system. And I actually get calls from tour managers saying, I was talking to so-and-so the other day, and they played that venue. I want to recommend that to our management team, because it sounds like a place, in terms of tech, a place we should be.
So an investment well made with the technical system.
Well made.
So I saw Layla Hathaway 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago she was there?
About two years ago. Yeah.
And she said that up on stage. She said, this is an incredible mm-hmm. venue. She mm-hmm. liked the intimacy of the venue. Mm-hmm. She said the sound system was great. So yes, the artists do enjoy
Everybody
that.
Comments. When I walked Natalie Cole to her car and I opened the door, she turned around and said to me, what a wonderful day. Can I come back here?
That's awesome. And she did, didn't she?
She did. That was the first time that she said she came back.
Now, what about the Broadway shows? What's that process like, and, you know, bringing in a bigger production?
The Broadway shows are a real challenge. You get five tractor trailers pulling up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the show is at 8 o'clock at night. So it's a tremendous labor-intensive effort. I would say that on a typical Broadway show, I must have somewhere between 30 and 50 guys working that, getting it all inside and getting it up. And then we hit the ground running. Quite a task. And of course, then it all has to come down.
Mm-hmm.
So those shows are the biggest technical things that we deal with.
And they're usually in for what, 3 or 4 days?
They're in for, mostly 2 days, or four shows, but they are matinees.
Okay.
So some are just two. Chorus Line coming in November is Friday and Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two shows. There's always the option, if they sell through, to add a matinee, and then it would be three shows.
Okay.
They are technically demanding.
All right.
And how many Broadway shows do we have this year?
Five titles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So if people want to check it out, we'll probably put this out there a few times, but let them know where to go. It's foxriversidelive.com is the website for the Fox Performing Arts Center. And on that website, you can find all the shows that are upcoming. You can purchase tickets, and I don't know what other information is out there that they may be interested in.
It can direct you to subscriptions for Broadway. One of the interesting shows on the end of Broadway is the Graceland Presley Estate, Presley Enterprises,
mm-hmm.
has authorized a show about Elvis. And they conducted a worldwide contest, and they picked three winners from around the world. One that represents Elvis when he was 18, one in his Army days, and one of his Vegas days. And they've gone in the archives and pulled out all sorts of old movies and letters. And they've created a multimedia presentation about his life with these three performers on the stage surrounded by that presentation. And they each do an era of his life musically. And that's Elvis Lives in May, May 10th.
Awesome. So it is coming to the Fox.
And who doesn't love Elvis, right?
Who doesn't? Because, you know, if you change the letters, the ribs. Hey, real quick, we're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Bill Malone right here on Explore Riverside Weekly.
It's time to tee it up for the less fortunate families in the city of Riverside. The Smart Riverside Annual Charity Golf Tournament is Monday, October 10th, Columbus Day. Come join us for a fun-filled day of golf at the beautiful Victoria Club in Riverside. This event raises money for the nonprofit programs of Smart Riverside, including the Digital Inclusion Program, where Smart Riverside gives free computer systems to low-income families in the city of Riverside. Last year, over 120 golfers and almost 100 sponsors helped raise over $45,000. The tournament features 18 holes of golf, long drive and closest to the pin prizes, plus surprises at each tee. Sponsorships are still available for this amazing event. Please call 951-826-5109 or visit smartriverside.org for more information or to register. Remember, we all deserve the opportunity to learn and excel. Please help us to offer these opportunities to the less fortunate in our community. We'll see you at Victoria Club in Riverside, October 10th.
AM 590, The Answer.
Hello, and welcome back to Explore Riverside Weekly. I'm Greg Lee, and our guest today is Bill Malone, operator of the Fox Performing Arts Center. So, Bill, I understand there have been several, and the term you want to use is what? Because we say sold out, but you want to use the term?
Well, it's sold out in near capacity shows. There's always single seats that you can't sell in the end because there's not one person sitting there saying, I want one ticket. And as odd as it seems, a group of three, they do not want to split up.
No.
So I always think of it as near capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of those shows time and again, from opening day with Sheryl Crow, opening weekend actually. So many. Bill Cosby, two shows were actually sold out. I think we actually sold the single seats then.
Awesome.
Pat Benatar, recently Kobe Calais, Gone with the Wind was a full house. We just did Casablanca, the opening film in the summer Bogart Film Fest,
right.
Sold out.
Right. People love that, being able to see
the
old films
there.
Yeah,
that was terrific. Yeah. And it goes on and on. There are so many that we get capacity crowds for.
And so how does that lend towards the success of the Fox and the way you're able to promote it and essentially bring in other acts and stuff?
Well, you know, everybody likes a winning venue, artists included. Nobody wants to come on a stage and say they came to your community and no one came. So it's to our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, artists speak to one another. oh, I had a great show the other night at the Fox. I get that constantly. Mm-hmm. I constantly get feedback from the artist and the artist technical crew people about what a wonderful day. And it pays off in the end. Works quite well.
Now, because I've heard you say booking agents. I've heard you say the artists. So are you talking to the booking agents, the artists,
the management? Everyone.
So you're talking to everyone.
I know their agents. I know their managers. I know the artists. I know their tech people. I mean, not everyone on every, but somewhere in a circle. And if I don't, my friend says to me, oh, that's my neighbor, you know. So I just have been in that round for a long time.
So very nice. All right. Well, one of the things we want to dive into is a little bit of the economic development aspect of the Fox and the acts that you're bringing for the city. That's a main reason why we have this radio show, is trying to communicate all the different avenues of that to our listeners. So, you know, really the Fox Performing Arts Center is considered one of the city's crowning glories. Ever since it went through the rehabilitation, it has become this beautiful venue with, you know, this great stage and sound system. Why do you think that was an important investment for the city?
Well, I think it's an important investment for the city because it's not a city venue. It's a regional venue. I remember the mayor and I had this discussion back when the architect was sitting there, that we need to build a regional center, an anchor to the Inland Empire, an anchor arts theater. And with that theater in place, and that what will evolve around it in terms of additional restaurants, more boutiques, traffic. Every time we do a show, when I pass a restaurant owner on the street, they tell me how packed they were the night of the show. All the way down as far as Applebee's tells me they're packed to the rafters every time we have a show. Sevilla says the same thing. So we're driving business into downtown with each production, and it also kicks up the hotel business because you'll get some people who they make a night and a morning of it. They come to town, they watch the show, they go to brunch the next morning, they had a wonderful night. So it's an anchor. It's an anchor in the Inland Empire. And I think that is why it was a wonderful investment on part of the city.
Now, with the audience that you're seeing come, would you say that it is truly a regional draw? Are you able to measure
50-50.
Your audience and where they're coming
50%
from?
50% Riverside, 50% from all surrounding communities.
That's good. And just to translate really what that means from an economic development standpoint to our listeners, when you talk about hotel, it's a transit occupancy tax that we charge, and that comes back to the city, and we're able to use it to further promote the city through a lot of different avenues, as well as the sales tax when they're shopping and eating, which goes to fund essential city services, because all that money goes back into our general fund. So while having the shows and that draw is great, and people being able to come down and see our beautiful downtown and our beautiful city, the dollars that it's putting back into our city is also really important.
And the exposure it brings. Mm-hmm. So if you have 50% of people coming to Riverside, a lot of those folks have never been to Riverside before, never seen the historic part of Riverside. So the Fox is almost like the Mission Inn now, because the Mission Inn is a regional draw, really a national draw. And so people are coming to visit it. And as you said, they're going to the shops, they're going to the restaurants. They're really creating economic activity in the downtown core.
Just an interesting note, we did the lead vocalist from Tool has another project called Pucifer that was sold out. Mm-hmm. We were getting calls and people were buying tickets over the phone and coming to Riverside from Colorado, Nevada, and Arizona.
Wow, for that one show?
That show.
Yeah.
And for us residents, it's nice because we don't have to travel, right? I don't have to go to LA to go to McKee Live. I don't have to go to, you know, Orange County. I can just stay here locally and visit the venue.
But from a city perspective, how great that word about the Fox and the shows that are happening here have gone that far out.
Gone national. Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
So how would you say the Fox is doing in comparison to other theaters or performance arts centers in...
Of its size. Of
its size. Right?
Well, we're the leader of the pack. Evidenced even by the PE readers, we just got second year in a row best arts theater in the region. Clearly, the Fox is the entertainment anchor for theater. That's independent of a casino where you can go gamble, but it's the mm-hmm. anchor in terms of an arts theater where there can be a ballet, a symphony, and Sheryl Crow.
I like it.
We're the leaders in the area.
So now you said when we started off that you worked at the Municipal Auditorium at first. So when you got involved with the Fox, what were your original thoughts, and have those thoughts changed from when it started to where you are now?
Well, I always saw the Fox exactly as it is. I saw the RMA as a place where we could do lots of weddings and seminars, event-oriented, but we had this ability to go upstairs, and instead of putting 50 tables for a wedding on the main floor, we could either strike the chairs, like we did for Morrissey, and everyone could stand on the main floor, or we could let them be seated. The seating didn't work as well on a concert because there's no gradation. So everybody is at the same level. So if you're sitting in row 12, there's a person's head right in front of you, so to speak. But that happens in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that then as a venue where we could do a Morrissey, whereas the Fox, I saw more like a Lincoln Center in New York. The auditorium always reminded me more of Carnegie Hall, that everything seems to take place performance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at Lincoln Center, you know, you have your ballets, you have your symphonies, you have Judy Collins, who we have coming, by the way, to celebrate her 50th anniversary, and Roger McGuinn from The Byrds is coming with her. That's quite
cool.
a show.
Mm-hmm.
She is has influenced so many artists over the years, so many.
Mm-hmm.
We've coordinated that with PBS. The 50th anniversary special was shot in New York a short time ago at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And PBS is airing it now.
What an honor for Riverside that it would be compared to, like, the quality of shows we're bringing, the type of venue it is, to the Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall and those types of things. So definitely a good source of pride for Riversiders.
With more to come, because we've got the Black Box coming.
That's right.
Can you talk about that?
Round two.
can you talk about...
Not yet. That's still up in the air. Ask me next time.
All right. So, no, but can you talk about what a Black Box Theater is and really what that means to the to
well,
the Box?
Well, the thing that I like about having the Black Box is not every organization or every artist can drop 1,500 people in chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we will now have a venue where local arts people could put on a production for 150 people. We could have an artist that let's say it's a solo artist with an acoustic guitar in their hand, who has a CD out in the region and really feels that 150 people would come and participate. Mm-hmm. We have a venue now where that person can put on a show. And people can come, and local artists can. I wrote a play, and I produced it, and where am I going to go with it? Well, here you go.
Well, so let's talk about the differentiation a little bit. You've touched on it a little bit, but if I'm looking at, we've got a Riverside Municipal Auditorium that has a stage and ability to do concerts. Now we have the Fox, and then this Black Box Theater. How do you see the breakdown of shows, and where things are going?
Well, you know, right now we are using the auditorium for convention purposes while the convention center is under construction.
Right.
But at some point, I think I see the RMA as a place where it's not about the Lincoln Center format. We could play some kick and rock and roll bands.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Fox, we don't really do that mm-hmm. much. And whereas the Fox will hold up the symphony and the ballet and the Colby Calais with a guitar. And
right.
We do a lot of mainstream, is the term in the industry, mainstream pop, mainstream rock, lighter R&B. We don't play heavy metal at the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do a different type of performance mm-hmm. at the RMA. And then the Black Box is completely around the block in that we could do small venue performances of any nature. It could be somebody that had two hit records 10 years ago that 300 people want to sit and watch. Completely different than either the Fox or the RMA. So it's a nice little triangle.
Mm-hmm. So now, real quickly, because we're running out of time, we're down to the last minute, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure people understand if they want to, we'll talk about this again, they want to get tickets, how do you go about getting tickets for a show, and how do you find out what shows are happening and when?
So to see what shows are coming up, the quickest way is just go to foxriversidelive.com. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
You can click through there to Ticketmaster. You can get on the phone and call the Fox box office and get your tickets over the phone, or you can walk up to the box office window at the Fox and get your tickets.
Now, what are the box office hours?
They're from noon to 6 daily, but on a show day, we open at 10, and we're there right into the show. So that's a long box office day, maybe 10 to 9.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Explore Riverside Weekly. Bill, thank you so much joining us
today.
Great
show. Great show. Really appreciate it.
So for all our listeners, tune in every Saturday at 2:30 to hear Explore Riverside Weekly. This is brought to you by the City of Riverside. Visit us on our website at exploreriverside.com.